I hope you're ready because we're going to have fun with this one. I'm about to take you into my world. This is what I do. This is what I love doing. And I could talk about this forever. But we're going to talk about how the patterns that your child has when they play can actually tell you how they learn. And this is such an amazing tool to have because your child will not struggle as much when it's time to learn. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. So for those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CEO of Being Connected. I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years experience in the field. I do work with parents, teachers, and educators to navigate the realities of what parenting is now. But don't get it twisted when you work with me. We're going to put the child's needs first. So we're going to have to put the ego and pride aside, and let's get to it. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There's a wealth of resources there. I will put the link in the comments and in the description so you can have a look. It helps with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So have a look at that. Now we're going to jump right in with learning schemas. And again, I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing this properly, but the patterns, it's a fancy way of saying patterns that your child has when they're playing that will actually tell you how they learn. Now it's very important to just to mention, this is what early childhood educators do. This is what we're trained for. So when children are playing, we're constantly observing them, not just when they're playing, around the clock. We're constantly observing your child and making notes to see these little patterns, to see where they are in their development, what their strengths are, what are the things that they need to work on to kind of keep up with the development within a healthy range. And so play is the best time to see where a child is at in their development. And now I'm talking about free play, because structured play is not actual play. Free play, when the child is free to be themselves, they don't have to put on a mask. That's not the same. But play is how children learn, and it is very serious work. We take it as just blowing off steam, just giving us a break while the kids are playing, but that's not it at all. When your child is playing, they're actually learning. They're focused on something, they're engaging, they're discovering, they're exploring. It's very serious. So it's important to let your child have this free time, free play, unstructured play, where they can actually discover their world. And so what I'm about to show talk to you about today with the patterns, you're not going to notice these patterns. You're going to notice patterns if your child is in structured play, but it won't be their true patterns. Your child puts on a mask and become the person you want them to be when you structure playtime. So it's not who they actually are. You're preventing them from learning in the way that they're learning. So we're going to go through, there's eight different patterns that you could look for. And you're going to see them right away. You're pretty much going to, if you pay attention to your child, you're going to notice them right away. It's also very important to say that not every child is the same. Everybody learns differently. Everybody plays differently. So your child may have more than one, which isn't usually the norm. There'll be more than one. They're kind of similar, but there's more than one. Or there may be none at all. And that's also very normal. So don't start comparing your child to other people's children. Everybody's different. Everybody learns different. And that's what's important. We need to teach children in the way that they're comfortable learning, not what the way we're comfortable teaching. So we need to pay attention to those patterns and be able to help them to learn and thrive and succeed in their academic years. So again, very important, this has to be done through free play. I'm going to explain the eight different patterns, and then at the end I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how to plan an activity that it'll incorporate all of them so that they can learn the same thing, but in their own way. You don't have to create eight different activities. I like to make things easy for parents and teachers. So you can actually, with one activity, with one learning objective, you could have several learning objectives into one. but you just have the one activity that's modified a little bit to accommodate everybody else's learning style. It saves in classroom management and saves in behavior issues at home or in the classroom. And it's very helpful. So I just wanted to give you a couple of examples to get you started and give you a head start. So we're going to jump right in with the first one, which is trajectory. This is one that the word that's also difficult for me to pronounce, but the trajectory learning schema or pattern is where a child will favor jumping, swinging, propelling themselves, throwing objects, splashing water. So you get the picture there. That's the what we will call the rambunctious child, but it's the child that just likes to move. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the pattern you're going to notice. They like to throw things. You could kind of consider it rough and tumble play type of thing, and it's perfectly natural. So that is one of the learning patterns that you may notice, the play pattern. And if you want to enhance your classroom or your home to encourage your child to learn more through that pattern, then what you want to do is kind of incorporate a lot of water play, messy paint, do a lot of stuff outside. It's a lot easier, right? Loose parts are great. Again, they like throwing stuff. So you're going to have to set limits and boundaries. If you have baskets in the room, then you can, you know, throw them in the basket, make it manageable, right? You don't want it a free-for-all. A trampoline is amazing. You could get the little ones, you can have one outside, have them bounce around. Obstacle courses have balls. There's a little rough and tumble play, you know, so little tumbles, little cartwheels, things like that. They're going to love it, and they can learn a lot through that, let out some steam. And it is great. The other learning pattern or play pattern is the transporting pattern, which is this is where a child favors traveling with or moving objects from one place to another. So this is the child that will have all of their teddy bears and their arms and trying to, you know, tumble their way into another area of the room. They'll drop their stuff, picking back up. They'll have all their cars, all their action figures. They'll be carrying rocks in their pockets when you're outside. This, you get a good picture there. And it's lovely. It's so fun to watch them because you can see the problem solving skills, this critical thinking skills there, their creativity on how am I going to get all of this to where I want them to be. So it's a lot of, that's why you want them to play freely, because they're discovering things, they're solving problems in their minds. So if you want to favor learning in your classroom or at home for a child that's like that, you're going to want buckets and baskets and wheelbarrows and loose parts, anything that they can carry. Sand and water, that's great. They can kind of even create canals and stuff like that, but they can carry the water around. Balls are great as well. So anything that they can carry, it makes it easier for them to carry as well, is great to have around, to have them learn and explore even more. Their third one is enclosing. So this is a child that likes containing things by creating borders and fencing things in, including themselves or their toys, right? So those are the kids that will like to just kind of play in a tunnel, under a chair, under furniture. They like to kind of, they'll have their little area, their little territory. So when you want to enhance play and learning for those children, you're going to want cardboard boxes are amazing for that. And any kind of cardboard box for any child, but for children who are like to enclose things, this is great. Any shape, it could be a tissue box, cereal boxes, anything, but cardboard boxes are great. Cars are amazing because they're great to kind of fence in. Toy animals, toy people, blocks. Empty frames are great. If you have a picture frame that's empty, that's great. They already have your perimeter and they can stack whatever they want in there. It's wonderful. Any kind of containers or tunnels work great as well, so that they can just kind of keep doing their orderly thing. It gives them a sense of control for those children. And it's great. It's great play. The fourth one is connecting. So those are kids who favor exploring, building things. They also like to see how things connect and disconnect. So these will be children that love to take things apart, right? and put them back together, or just take them apart and leave them there. So you know if you have a child like that, and if you want to kind of enhance the learning experience and their play experience in that situation, is you're going to want to train tracks are amazing, or blocks where they can create roads. Legos, Velcro is, you could have a child play for 10 minutes straight with Velcro. They'll be happy. Tape is great as well. Again, they can put things together, take them apart. Glue is a connecting a child's best friend, because again, put things together, take them apart. You have stickers and magnets are amazing. Again, if you have like things like connects or the magnets, they will stay quiet for a very long time if you keep them engaged like that. Marker caps for the younger kids, just that alone. Take the marker and put it back. As long as you're okay with the constant clicking, you're good. Just put some earbuds in and you're good to go. So those are great things to have around for kids who like to. You'll notice as they get older, they're going to want to take their remote controls apart. They're going to want to take the things apart like that. So if you have old equipment, and give them a screwdriver and have fun with it. They're exploring so much, and again, a lot of problem solving and critical thinking in there. The next one is rotation. These are kids who just love anything that has to do with circular motion. So either they're spinning, rolling, circling themselves, or toys around something, right? So you'll see that a lot in soccer games, the little ones where there's a kid in the far end of the field not even paying attention to the game, and they're just spinning around or tumbling, doing cartwheels. They're kids that love to spin on a spinning chair and things like that, or spin everything, all the toys that they have, they're just kind of spinning it, swirling it around. So when you want to enhance learning and play with those children, you're going to want to have the metal or wooden rings. Those are great because, again, there's so much that they could do with that. Coins, again, be careful with the sizing so they don't choke. Spinning tops are great, any size variation there, they love that. If you have tires and wheels, you can have little ones, toy ones, or if you're outside, you can have the real ones. They could play with those forever. Spinning chairs are great, not just for spinning themselves around, they can spin their toys around as well, or on the wheels they can kind of carry them around. Hula hoops are great. There's also this story, and I forget what they're called, but someone, when you attach one end to your ankle and then you skip, you in circles, there's that one. Those are great as well for kids, boys or girls. They're going to really, really enjoy that. So you can add that to your classroom. You can add that to your playroom or at home, and your kids will explore their world even more. The next one is enveloping. So those are kids who love to cover and hide themselves or their toys, right? It's different from enclosing. Enclosing is they just like to contain things. Whereas enveloping, they like to cover, to play hide and seek. They like to wrap themselves in a blanket. They like to wrap their dollies, their other toys. Everything is wrapped up. So that's the enveloping. So when you want to enhance the learning or playtime with the children that have that pattern, you play a lot of hide and seek with their toys. You can hide the toys and have them look for it, or you have scarves or blankets or towels to cover them up. Pillow fart forts. It's a little slip there. Pillow forts are great as well, or just regular blanket forts. Wow, I'm struggling today with that word. Tents are great. Cardboard boxes, again, wonderful to be able to kind of wrap themselves around. Tunnels. Sand tables are great. If you don't have the tables, you can use the bins, because again, they can hide their toys in under the, they like to, kind of cover them with sand and then dig them back up. Loose parts are great for that. If you have scarves or blankets, they're great. Scarves are great because they're portable. You can bring them to the park, you can bring them anywhere, and you could do a lot of work with that. It's wonderful. The next learning pattern is orientation. So those are the kids that love exploring their world through different perspectives. Those are the kids that are going to hang themselves upside down. I love them. Those are my favorite kids, especially in the classroom. I like things that disrupt the norm. And so, the kids that cannot sit straight in a chair or on a couch, they're kind of all over the place. The kids that like to be upside down, they like to climb over things. They like to climb under things. Or crawl under things, I should say. So those are the kids that just love exploring the world in different points of view. So to enhance the learning experience with children that have that pattern, you're going to want to have, of course, bring them outside. Monkey bars, any kind of play structure is wonderful. Swings, cardboard boxes, again, the magical toy binoculars, microscopes. They love to see things differently. So you have them look at the infinitely small. They're going to love that. The infinitely far. They're going to explore the world in places that they normally can't be. If they're a little older, even telescopes are great. Mirror play is great for those kids as well. You bunch of mirrors, they can look at themselves in different angles with different faces. You could play with the little laser lights as well to have the laser bounce. Those are great things for them to discover, and they're really going to enjoy that. So those are great to have around to incorporate into your learning with those children. The last one is transforming. So these are my favorite. I know all of them are my favorite, but this one, because I am a scientist at first, transforming is just they love to watch things change. So they love decorating, they love mixing things, they love changing themselves or their toys. Right. So you're looking at children who love science experience. They like mixing things. They will mix their colors. They will love to put on different costumes because they're transforming themselves. So when you want to enhance learning with children that have that pattern, you want to incorporate a lot of dramatic play with costumes. It could just be scarves, some of your own clothes that they could wear. You could, play with the toys as well and dress them up differently. Science experiments, of course, are wonderful for that. Due to all these little experiences, they love it and they learn very quickly with that. Any kind of a form of painting will work. Cooking, baking, anything with loose parts, again, they can kind of transform in the way that they want. Glue is wonderful for children with that learning pattern as well because they can transform things the way that they want. So there's a lot that you could do with it. As you can see, there's many of them that kind of are similar. So you may notice those same similar patterns in one child, or they could be completely different. Again, it depends, right? But this the fact that some of them are so similar that makes it easy when you're doing an activity with different children that have different learning patterns or learning styles. It in order for you, we tend to create activities for each child's interest, which is not realistic for us. It's too much work. So we can group them together and create something for those specific learning groups. You could have the one activity, but just have some kind of alterations to accommodate the other ones as well. I will tell you a little bit later on. I will give you at the end of this episode, I will give you two activities that you can do as an example, so that you could start thinking about how that looks like for you. But I'm going to first tell you how to do that. The best thing is to put the ones that are similar together, the ones that require kind of the same equipment. I'm able to kind of group them into two different groups. So I'll usually first group will be the one that require a lot of movement, the ones that like to move around a little bit more, and then the second one is those that can be a little bit more contained. So in the first group, you have the transforming, trajectory, orientation, rotation, and transporting. Those five together work very well, and usually activities that you do for one of those are great. They can kind of alter the play according to their likings. You don't even have to do it. You just have to make sure that it doesn't get too out of control energy-wise. But for those five, you could do a lot of science experiments, cooking, baking, messy play, have them outside, and a lot of play with water and paints, a lot of movement. They're going to do very great together. And then the second one, when I say that they're not the quieter ones, but they're the ones that you can kind of sit in the corner and they'll be happy. The connecting and closing and enveloping ones, they could do a lot of activities together as well, where they will feel comfortable. And even if you mix those two groups together, you put a cardboard box in there, and then more than one maybe, they will find a way to keep busy. The quieter group, what I call the quieter group, they're not, but in terms of energy, the ones that do not let out as much energy, it's more orderly play, right? They like things to be structured. They like things to be ordered, whether it's enclosed, fenced in, enveloped, hidden, in all in order. So those are children that naturally prefer to feel like they're in control of their environment. That's a coping skill for them that helps them. It's soothing. They auto-regulate that way. So if you can have an area where they can be in that kind of environment it helps them a lot to do their learning without getting anxious or having outbursts because they're overstimulated. So again, you can mix and match. You want your children that need to move to have some times where they can sit down and kind of stay orderly a little bit more, just to auto-regulate as well, because it could go the extreme for them as well. So an idea for activities, and I'll give you one of my favorites that I like to do, and it works with any type of learning styles, any type of learning patterns, is what I call the invisible paint. So in this activity, we're working the fine motor skills, right? Fine motor skills is anything that has to do with like fingers. In this case, children are born, if you actually look up, Google the hand of a child versus the hand of an adult, and you're going to understand why we need to work on the children's fine motor skills. They don't have the muscles in their hands developed. They actually, their bones are not even all fused together. There's a process there. So if you're teaching a child to be able to hold a pencil or to hold scissors and cut properly, they don't actually have the bones and the muscles to do it yet. We have to work on that. So keep that in mind. If you remember in high school or in school when you had to write down notes so much that your hand would cramp up and you had to shake it off or massage it and you would just cramp up, especially when you were studying and taking notes. It's the same for a child. The minute if you take a toddler and you give him a pencil and expect them to start coloring inside the lines or to hold scissors and cut paper properly, it's not realistic. They're actually in that much pain. Their hands are cramping up. So we need to work those muscles. And there's more than one way. So, of course, when we're working motor skills paint, we're automatically expecting a paintbrush, right? Some children may not be able to hold that paintbrush yet. And even if we're talking about children that already have challenges with fine motor skills, if we're thinking of children that are on the autism spectrum, many, many of them, the majority of them already have challenges with fine motor skills. They will never develop their fine motor skills to the way we would expect them to. So we have to be realistic with that. We could do paint with a paintbrush, but if our objective is to work the muscles, it doesn't matter what they're holding, as long as they're holding something. So for the kids that need to move, your children that are the trajectory, the transporting, the transforming, the connecting ones as well, the enclosing, all of them, they all fall into that. You could grab, you could take a toy car, run it in the paint, and then on the paper, you're creating roads, you're creating all sorts of different things. You could use Lego blocks, the bigger ones, dip them in the paint, and now they're building a house with Lego blocks, but in paint. So it's not a paintbrush, but it's okay. They're still holding the car to be able to move. Now, for those who are just listening to the audio, you're not watching my hand movements, but just imagine holding a car and having it move around. You are moving all of the muscles, the same muscles that you would be moving if you're cutting paper with scissors. So again, think of your learning objective and what is your end goal. Your end goal is to develop those muscles. Then it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a paintbrush. It doesn't have to be a crayon. It could be whatever the child is capable of doing. You could be outside with sticks and drawing in the sand. They're still working the same muscles, but now the kids that need to move are able to move. Your enclosing children are able to create their enclosures where they can put all the dump trucks in afterwards, right? So this is an idea. But going back to the activity where you want a quieter activity, you can have them sit down for this one. And it's the invisible paint. It's a science experiment at the same time. So they're learning about transformation and chemical changes, but they're sitting down and then you're using, so you do need an acid and a base for this now to paint with. The child can use the paintbrush or a car or whatever, and use lemon juice. It can work with vinegar as well, but it's kind of smelly. So the lemon juice is usually better. And the child will draw their picture with the lemon juice, which they will see the outline. And then when it dries, it disappears. And then for the kids that like to do hide and seek, this is a great activity as well, because they're creating, you could have them create their picture without nobody seeing it. And when it dries, nobody knows what it is. But then after that, you don't want to wait too long. But if you throw a little bit of baking soda on top of the paper after that, you'll get your chemical reaction. It'll bubble up a little bit. And now your picture comes to life, it reappears. So this is a great activity for the transforming children, for the enclosing children, for the connecting children as well, the enveloping, that all the kids that like to, it works for everybody. So this is just an example of the same learning objective, but with different learning styles and different learning patterns. It works. You don't have to do 8 different activities for that. There's another one where if you want to talk about measuring units, right? Depending again on how old they are, you could do this outside. It's great for the kids that love to move, but you have objects, blocks or whatever, balls, whatever on one side. And on the other side, you have hula hoops, so you have perimeters. And then you have the kids run, pick up the block or the ball and come back and put them. So if you want to sort colors, you could do all the blue blocks in a hula hoop and the green blocks in a hula hoop, or are the little rocks in one square and the big rocks in the other square. So the kids can do that. It keeps them busy. They're learning about small and big. They're learning about different sizes, but they're active and it works with many different children. The children that are transporting are going to love this, right? And for those who need a bit more quiet, you could do the same activity where you have pictures of big blocks, or you have the big blocks, small blocks, medium blocks, hide them under a cover. You can sort it out across the room on the table. So those work as well. The good thing about this is when you take that approach where you are enhancing or enriching, I don't know if that's a word, but you're complementing their learning styles and their learning patterns. The children are now focused on what they're good at. They're no longer focused on what they're having a hard time with. So the whole experience changes and the children are encouraged to learn even more. And as an adult, you're there and you're having fun with them, but you let them play, you let them discover, you let them take it even further. You're there to encourage them to go just a little bit further so that they can go on with their development. And you're there to help them and make sure that it doesn't get out of control. You can have fun with it. So this is what I have with you. And there's so much more I could do. I will do a whole other episode about learning styles. Those are completely different, but now we're talking on an academic. So we're talking about visual learners, kinesthetic learners, auditory learners, solitary learners. So many, but this is more of a school level kind of subject. Where today we're talking about early childhood education. So when they're a little bit younger, before they get to school, it works very well. But I can give you more resources on that. You can just contact me. I am a real person, so just reach out if you want more information. I could do Q&As as well. But I am going to leave you with a little homework on this one. I encourage you to have a look with all this information, have a look at your child and see if you can see some patterns. And again, if you don't see any of those patterns, it's okay. It's normal. Every child is different. But you're going to, in that case, what you want to do is see what they love. If they love dinosaurs, if they love a particular cartoon character, you're going to use that to help them want to learn some more, right? You're going to go with their interests. If they love dogs, you're going to use dogs to learn, right? It's different, but it works. And so I would love for you, if you'd like to share, if you saw your child in some of these, share it in the comments as, oh, my kid is 100% rotation. I just love to see how parents, because when you can tell your child's patterns and you share that with the teacher when they start school, or the educator when they start daycare, the educators and the teachers are going to notice it. They're going to know, right? They're going to figure it out. But if you come in already knowing, it just makes it easier for the teachers to create the classroom that your child needs to learn. So that communication is great. You could learn a lot more. You could find out what your pattern is. We still have our patterns. It's who we are. So of course we still have our learning patterns. So our play patterns. We all know how we like to play. So I will leave that with you. Don't forget to check out the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy. I will leave the link again in the description. There's some great resources there that can help you to build your child's confidence and self-esteem while they're learning. It's great. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.